All right, please take your Bible this morning. I want you to turn to the book of Jeremiah. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Jeremiah, and we're going to stand and look at chapter 5 and verse number 25. Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse number 25. Just call your attention to one verse this morning, but it'll surely be enough. Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse number 25. The Bible says, "Your iniquities have turned away these things." And this is the main part of this verse I want you to pay close attention to this morning, church. "And your sins have withholden good things from you." That's the part of the verse I want us to pay close attention to. Your sins have withholden good things from you. Brother Jerry, I'm glad that you're here with us this morning. Would you pray that God will bless this and everybody can be seated and we'll continue on. Yes. Amen. Amen.
We pray that now, Lord, if someone here not saved, Lord, you convict their heart through this message.
Yes, Lord.
We know good things are taken away from us because of the ministry. Bless the preacher, Lord.
Help me, please. Please.
Speak to them, Lord, with us. Yes. Thank you for the mouth of the past and help us continue to stay on fire for you.
Amen.
And obey you and worship you. Lord, we ask your breath to these people today. For these days,
yes, God, Lord.
Request.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, this morning and tonight, Lord willing, I want to preach to you on the subject of sin. I know that makes everybody happy. But I do want you to know this. The sermon is not going to be like a usual message on sin. It's not going to be as much of a warning or rebuke as much as a message that I have prayed about and believed that God would have me to use to exhort you, to encourage you to forsake your sins so that you can receive all the good things that God has for his children. Now I want you to notice our text this morning, Jeremiah chapter 5. And if you read Jeremiah chapter 5, what you'll find out is that Jeremiah chapter 5 is mostly a rebuke of Judah, although Israel is also included in verse number 11. God warns the people of his impending judgment because of their wickedness. And he goes on and he declares that he is going to send in, he says, an ancient nation, and that nation is Babylon. And he's going to send them in to overtake them and to destroy Judah because of their sin. And then we get to our text this morning. He tells his people that their iniquities have turned away the blessings of God. Now, I want you to especially notice the second half of the verse. He says, "Your sins have withholding good things from you." Now, I want you to understand this. In the Old Testament, the blessings of God on his people came because of their obedience, and it would come in a physical way most of the time. For an example, he'd bless them with rain if they did right. He'd bless them with a good harvest if they did right. He'd bless them with good health. He'd take away the pestilence. We might need some of that right now. Amen. He would bless them with wealth. He would bless them with military victory. But that's not how it works in the New Testament, folks. In the New Testament, after the cross, God's blessings that are promised for living a consecrated life are mostly spiritual blessings, not physical blessings like the Jews received in the Old Testament. We receive spiritual blessings. We know that God does many times bless us with physical things on the earth, but that's not what the promise is. That's only a bonus. This health and wealth and prosperity is never promised to the obedient Christian. As a matter of fact, the sold-out soldier of the cross many times will suffer because of his obedience to Christ. Not gain, he'll suffer. The Bible says all that live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution. But what I want to do is I want to take this principle and preach on it this morning and preach on it tonight. I want to take this principle that you find here in the Old Testament as God dealt with his people in the Old Testament, the Jews, and I want to make the spiritual application of how he deals with us now, his people, the body of Christ in the New Testament. And I want you to see that we have some spiritual blessings, not the physical ones, but some great spiritual blessings that we miss out on because of our sin. The title of my message this morning, and I'll continue it tonight, Lord willing, is this: Missing the Good Because You're Doing the Bad. We are missing the good because we're doing the bad. I want us to take some time and see these wonderful blessings that we miss because we have sin in our lives. May God help us this morning to forsake our sin, because sin is going to cause our Lord to withhold some good things from us. Now, all of these points I'm going to preach on this morning and tonight deal with saved people, but the first one may deal with a lost person here. So I want to say this. Number one, the good thing that God will withhold from you because of your sin is heaven. Now listen, we know that the only sin that sends a man to hell is his rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that. We know any sin can be forgiven. And technically the reason that a man goes to hell is because he rejects the cure. In some sense, a man doesn't go to hell, but for what he does, he goes to hell because he does not do something. He does not take the cure. He does not receive the Savior. But the reason he rejects Christ is because of sin. The reason a man rejects Christ is because of sin. It's because of his pride. It's because of his stubbornness. It's because of his rebellion. He thinks he's got to give up something. And we know that you don't have to give up anything but your self-righteousness to be saved. But that man's got in the back of his mind that I'm going to have to quit this and stop this and knock this off. And his sin stops him from being saved. That's a good thing that God has for everybody. Listen, if you're in here this morning, heaven is something that God wants you to have. John Calvin had it wrong. It wasn't that he elected some to get saved and some to go to hell. That's nonsense. That Bible says, whosoever will, let him come. And you know what your sin is going to do? If you're sitting here this morning, you're lost. If you're lost and you don't do something about your sin, you don't come to the Savior, your sin is going to put you into hell. That's exactly what it's going to do. God wants you to give you heaven. He doesn't want you to go to hell. John 6:37. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, he said. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but it's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come into repentance. 1 Timothy 2:4, we will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. But you know what your sin's going to do? It's going to withhold the best thing you can ever have from you, and that's heaven. And this is just a little side note. This ain't really going along with this point. But God wants you to have heaven in your home. But you can't have heaven in your home when there's hell in your home. Listen, God wants you to have... That struck a nerve there, didn't it? Did some of you come this morning from a home full of hell? God wants you to have heaven in your home. But you cannot have heaven in your home when you have a home full of sin. Do you see that thing right there? There are some things that God wants you to have. I'm not talking about this, you know, he wants you to be rich, he wants you to be healthy, he wants you to have this and a good job and my future so bright, I got to wear shades, my future must be pretty bright, so I wear them all the time. There's some things that God wants you to have, but they're spiritual things and they're much more important than this superficial physical stuff that don't matter, that won't go beyond the grave. But the Bible says because of your sin, you will not confess it, you will not forsake it, you just want to hold on to it. He said, I can't give it to you. Isn't that a shame that God wants to give every man and woman heaven, and because of their sin, he can't give it to them? Because their sin keeps them from coming to the only one that can save their soul. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what it'll do to you. It'll put you out of heaven. So if there's anybody here today, listen to me. God wants to save your soul. Don't worry about what you got to give up and all that. That's nonsense. You catch a fish, then you clean them up. Don't worry about all that. Listen, you get the Holy Spirit and you bless God, you won't be concerned about all that stuff anymore. It won't be trouble for you to give up something. And if it is trouble for you to give up something, just hang in there. I mean, we're all struggling with something. That's got nothing to do with salvation. You just put your faith and trust in Christ and what he did for you on the cross and nothing else. And God will give you heaven because he wants to give you something good. He wants to give you an eternal life. But your sin will stop it. Your sin will keep you from getting it. All right, now the rest of these things are spiritual blessings that are withholding from us because of our sin. Here we go. Number two, heaven. Number two, fellowship with God. You know what Isaiah 59:2 says? It says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Now, how we apply that to us in the church age is that our sin messes up our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not our salvation, but sin messes up my fellowship with him. There's absolutely nothing I can do that's going to make God not love me. There's absolutely nothing I can do that's going to make me not be God's son anymore. It's a positional thing. I'm born again. I'm born into the family. But there's plenty I can do that can cut off that fellowship. Listen to me. I'm going to say this over and over and over until I die or the rapture or the trumpet blows or whatever. The most important thing in your Christian life is your one-on-one fellowship with Jesus Christ. There's nothing more important than that. I was already graduated from a Bible college and preaching before I ever heard that. I never heard nobody say that. I never heard no preacher say that. Never heard no man say that. And then one day when I got introduced to Dr. Ruttman, I heard him say it. And I thought, man, I've never heard that. I thought the most important thing is to get in there and win some souls and build up a church and learn the Bible and all that. And then I heard him preach that one time. He said the most important thing in a man's life is his personal fellowship with God. And God said, you better listen to that boy. He's right. He's right. It doesn't matter that no preacher's ever told you that. It doesn't matter you're already pastoring and you never heard that. He's right. The most important thing in your life is your personal fellowship with Jesus Christ and your walk with him. And no other service takes that place. But you know what God will withhold from you? Talking about withholding good things from you because of your sin. He will withhold that fellowship. Some of you ever went through periods in your life where you said, man, I'm praying. It doesn't feel like my prayers are going above the ceiling. I don't feel close to God anymore. I just don't know. I just feel like something's wrong. The very first thing you can do is say, God, okay, is there something in between me and you that I haven't confessed? I'm not getting right. God, would you put your finger on something in my life that's wrong? That's maybe got you displeased with me and broken our fellowship and we're just not right because of it. Show that to me. Show me what it is. It doesn't affect your relationship, but it affects your fellowship. God wants you to have good fellowship. One of the greatest blessings of a child of God is to know that he's in right fellowship with his Father. Listen, you can face some very difficult things in your life if you know the Savior's walking close to you. Amen? But unconfessed, unrepentant of sin can withhold that good thing. Now listen, this is why it's so important, I believe, to walk with the Lord. I know that you can find God in a difficult time. But wouldn't you rather go into that difficult time already having God than try to get in the difficult time and then find him? Do you know what I've learned as being a preacher? Let me tell you what I've learned as being a preacher. You never know when the phone's going to ring. And I've learned over the years, when that phone rings at 12:30, 1 or 2 in the morning, it's happened too many times, and that thing will go off, and I wake up and I can hear that phone ringing, and immediately my heart's doing this. I'm like, oh God, help whoever it is, help them. I don't know what's going on. Lord, I'm walking to the phone praying this, oh God, help them. I'm feeling all dizzy and funny feeling. Help them, Lord. Lord God, if they need me to counsel them or comfort them or help them, just give it to me. I don't know what to say. Give it to me. Now listen, everybody gets those phone calls. Everybody has that stuff happen to them. Wouldn't you rather, it's already bad enough. There's no way you can make it good, okay? But wouldn't you rather get that phone call at 1 o'clock in the morning, having laid down about 10:30, 11 that night in perfect fellowship with your Savior? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't it be better to get the phone call and say, God, I don't know what I'm going to have to do here. This is terrible. But at least I'm walking with you. rather than get the phone call, and now everything's all upset and maybe something tragic's happened, and I'm trying to find God. I'm trying to find God. I'm trying to get everything fixed with God. You better think about that. I think about it too much. I'm leaning the wrong direction. I need to get more balance. I think about death all the time. But for God's sake, man, I don't know how you can do what I do and not think about it. I tell you one thing that liked to knock me out coming up here wasn't just all this. I almost thought something there for a while. God had cursed me like I was a death angel or something. That's been hard to deal with. Come up here and all these, not bad people, all these good people die. And you know what you'll think? You'll think, why are they dying? They probably a lot better shape than you are. You ought to be the one that dies. I know some preachers done died with this stuff. I know some good men, better than me, got this COVID. I hope and pray I don't get it, but if anybody deserves to die from it, it's me, not them. That's all up to God, I reckon. I know one thing. Whatever happens in my life or happens in your life, you're going to come out a lot better if you face it in fellowship with Him, if you face it right with Him, if you're walking with Him. The greatest blessing you will ever have is not a new job and not more money and not good health. The greatest blessing you will have in your life is to sit out on your porch and confess your sins to the Lord and cry and pray and drink a little coffee and read this word and sit out there, and it takes 15 minutes and 30 minutes and 45 minutes and an hour and 15 minutes, and all of a sudden it comes. Just everything's all right. Everything's all right. Me and you are fine, son. We're fine. Everything's all right. And feel God come on you. There ain't nothing like that. But we can't have it when our sin is controlling us, when our sin is unconfessed, when we refuse to deal with our sin. Number three, I tell you another spiritual blessing you cannot get. God will withhold from you. And it's a great spiritual blessing, and we don't think about it because of our sin. And that's spiritual growth. Do you know it is a blessing? It is a good thing when God blesses His children with victory over sin. How many of you just love that when you struggle and you struggle and you struggle, and one day God just gives you the victory and takes it away? Amen. That's a wonderful thing. More understanding of the Scriptures. Isn't that a great thing when God gives you that? What about boldness to do right? That's all involved in spiritual growth. What about forgiveness to those that's done you wrong? It's an amazing thing how when you grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and you grow in love, it's amazing how much quicker you can get rid of those things and forgive people. Anybody in here say, preacher, about 30 years ago, man, I couldn't get over forgetting nothing. I wouldn't forgive nobody. I was bitter. I was angry. But now I'm not angry. Now I've grown in the Lord enough. Now I can forgive and go on. Isn't that a blessing? That's spiritual growth, and it's wonderful. Development of love and compassion and mercy and patience for folks. It's a wonderful thing to look back at when you first got saved and see how much you've grown. Let me tell you something, folks. I'm not where I need to be, and I'm not where I'm going to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. That's something to shout for the Lord about. I'm glad I ain't near the mess I used to be. I'm still a pretty good mess. Ask that woman. But I'm not near the mess I used to be. You know what I used to hear? I don't know why they said that. They used to tell me when I was young, they say, boy, these little children around here, they say, you youngins don't drink coffee. If you youngins drink coffee, it's going to stunt your growth. Any of you ever heard that? Well, that's wrong. It didn't stunt my growth. We drank it when we was little. My sisters drank it. We all drank coffee. Matter of fact, they come back with new studies now to say coffee's actually really good for you. So you can't depend on what nobody says. Everybody said, don't eat salt. Don't eat salt. Salt's going to run your blood pressure up. Stress will run your blood pressure up much more than salt. By the way, Jesus said salt is good. I'm going to stick with Jesus. Now, He didn't say eat it in like bucketfuls, but listen, man, it's a great thing to grow spiritually. It's a great thing. It's a great thing to see what God's done for you, isn't it? But you're not going to grow spiritually because of sin. You know what? I remember one time at my former church, I preached something to them. I preached about them being behind others. And what I said was, you know, I realize that some of you, and I'm going to say the same thing to you I said to them down there, except I'm going to say it a lot sweeter to you. I realize some people can't come to every service. They're sick, especially right now. You shouldn't. You're sick. You have a job. You have struggles. You have all kinds of things. Everybody can't get here to the every service. But I'm going to tell you what happens. When you're in a local church pastoring, you will start seeing a divide. And I tell you where you'll start seeing the divide. You'll have that group that somehow tries to make it to Sunday school and to preaching and to Sunday night and to Wednesday night. And they're getting all the lessons. They're getting all the preaching. They're getting all of the instruction. They're in on all the prayer meetings. They're in on all the stuff. And then you got these folks that they just like Sunday morning only, or Sunday morning once a month only. I'm not trying to be critical. I'm trying to help you. Every other Sunday only. And you know what I began to see over the years down there? And you'll see it in this church. You'll see it in any church. You'll begin to see it's just like folks that start out running. Some of you runners understand this. When everybody starts out, you're just running. But if that race is any length at all, you know what'll start happening? And you know what I see? Listen, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. How many of you believe I'm trying to help you this morning? But you folks that won't read your Bible, and you won't pray, and you won't make yourself try to get here when there's normal circumstances. I understand we have some unique circumstances right here. You won't try to be faithful. You know what happens to you? You know why you're more apt to get angry? You're more apt to cause a trouble in the church. You're more apt to fall out of church. You're more apt to wreck your life. I tell you why. Because there's a separating in the church. Those that have went in there are growing. And some of you, you're stunted. And you've stunted yourself because you've not availed yourself of what it takes to grow. You are never going to grow in the Lord much at all if you're just every once in a while in and out, hit and miss. Sometimes I'm faithful, sometimes I'm not. Just depends on how I feel this month. Amen. 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 You're not going to grow. God's not going to give you what he gives that other person that sacrifices to get it. You know, one of the greatest things you'll see in your life is personal growth in the Lord. And some of you haven't seen much growth in a long time because God's withholding it from you because of your sin and neglect. That Bible says if a man knows to do good and he doesn't do it, it is sin to that man. And you know that you need all of the church that you can possibly get. You're not going to get too much. You may get too much of me, but you're not going to get too much of church in the Bible. You may say, I'm put out with him. Well, amen, I'm put out with me too. But you won't get put out with the Savior. You won't get put out with this book. And you won't get put out with fellowship with the saints. And you will grow in the Lord. But you're going to have to push through some things to do it. If it came easy, every child of God would be growing. Every child of God would be faithful in doing that which you're supposed to. It's difficult. It's the same thing as when you haven't slept all night and your belly's hurting you and you feel sick and the alarm clock goes off at 5 and you get on up and go to work. Years ago, people had that same type of commitment to the things of God and to the church of God as they did to work. We don't anymore. And that's why we have the most carnal baby Christians in the church, I mean the church as a whole, that we've ever had. That's why it's Laodicea. Because people will not do what it takes to grow. That's a great spiritual blessing. And it's withholding from you because you have sin. Sin and neglect or sin in your life. Let me just say this. Where I come from, deer season put a damper on the services. I don't care if you kill a deer. I've killed enough. I don't even know if you can put them all in this auditorium. I've been killing deer since I was younger than that boy right by Isaiah right there. I've killed everything you can kill legally and some illegally. Ain't killed nobody, but I don't care how much you hunt. I don't care how much you fish or whatever. Why is it that when hunting season comes in now my church attendance is shady? Or fishing, or beach, or vacation. Now, I'm sick and tired of that. I don't care if you vacation. I'm fixing to get one, Lord willing. Why are you vacationing every other week in the summer? You got to be at the lake every other weekend? You got to be fishing every other weekend? I know what's getting clammed up in here. I'll be all right. I'll take a nap and do just fine tonight. I'm just telling you the truth. Listen, you're going to have to set your mind like a flint, like a stone, brother. I'm going to do what it takes to grow. And the ones of you that do that will grow. And the ones of you that don't, won't. Now, I got one more point, and I'll finish this thing tonight. Another spiritual blessing that is withholding from many people, and this is a different but a very important point, so I want you to listen to it, that will rob you because of your sin is doctrinal truth. Doctrinal truth. Now, listen. Listen very carefully. Most folks think that in order for you to have good doctrine, you've got to study, you got to rightly divide, you got to cross-reference, line upon line, precept upon precept. Listen, that all is very, very true. That all is very true. But listen to me, everybody listen, that absolutely is not. It is not enough. Have any of you ever wondered why there's so many Bible believers? I'm talking about Bible believers, King James Bible believers, and you watched them over the years, and they wind up as one that flew over the cuckoo nest. Any of you ever wonder that? Maybe you don't keep up with them like I do. I'm talking about folks that got the right training, they got the book set up under the right teaching, and they're one that flew over the cuckoo nest. They go wild, they go crazy out there preaching and teaching something just nutso. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Anybody besides me? Raise your hand up. Don't be scared. Now, have you ever wondered why that takes place when you know they had one of the best preachers in the world? You know they had the best teaching in the world. They had the best foundation in the world. And now they're out there in cuckoo land. You want me to tell you what it is? All you folks better listen to me now. I'm going to tell you what it is. Jesus Christ over there in John chapter 7, verse number 17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, listen, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Do you know what Jesus Christ said there? He said, if you will do my will, in other words, if you do and put into practice what you do understand, then I will help you to understand more. But if you don't put into practice and do what you do understand, not only am I not going to reveal more to you, but you're very likely to get out there in some kind of la-la land. Do you know what the average Bible believer thinks? Let's just blow it all out here this morning. We fixing to go to the house anyway. I'm going to finish this. You can take it to the crib. The average Bible believer thinks that if I'll study and I'll rightly divide and I'll just reference and just feed and feed and feed, I'm going to be all right and I know something somebody else don't. Man, 2 years from now, FBI won't be able to find you. You ain't been in a local church in 2 years. Nobody can pastor you. You got your little internet ministry with five people following you because they're just as nutty as you are. Do you know what that is? I'll tell you what that is. Let me tell you what it is. Everybody look up here at me. That's a man that every time he picks up this book is, and he needs that, and Brother Ben needs that, and that boy right there needs that right there, and he keeps looking at this thing over and over and over, and he never looks at it and goes, no, that thing's talking to me. That thing says I'm wrong. That thing is a glass looking back at me. That's not his reflection in it, bless God, that's mine. Bible believers so fanatic about straightening everybody else out, you don't get your own self straightened out. Then you go around here causing trouble for these other pastors because can't nobody pastor you. You know everything. Let me tell you something. Do you want to know the right and what's wrong in this book? You want to know real doctrine in this book? If you live in a life of sin, unconfessed sin, and you're not doing with it what you already do know is right, You know, I don't care how much you study the Bible. I don't care if you study it. I don't care if you read through it 12 times a year. You're not going to know your doctrine. And matter of fact, there's a good chance you're going to get messed up on it. Don't worry about that. I'll pick that up in a minute. Do you hear me? You're going to get messed up. Now, you know why people cause trouble in churches and all that kind of stuff? And they'll do it over some little old bitty doctrine that don't even matter. It ain't an intellectual thing. It ain't that I know something and that pastor don't know. Nah, that ain't your problem, buddy. It's 12 inches lower than that. You got a ticker problem. Your problem ain't that you study the Bible so much now and you know everything. Your problem is you've been studying the Bible and you ain't right with God, and you ain't been right with God for 2 years. Now you're a perfect nut. That's where this thing leads you. That's a spiritual blessing that you will not have because you've got sin in your life and because you refuse to do that which God's already told you to do and what's right. And you know what the Bible says, don't you? The Bible says to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not is what? What is it? It's sin. And I'm going to finish this thing, Lord willing, tonight. I got three more points. But in conclusion, I want to say this. This passage that we just looked at, doctrinally, it applies to Judah. Not to us, not to Christian, but it can certainly be applied spiritually to any country. Not just Judah, but to America, to any church, Holy Hills Baptist Church, and to any Christian, to any country, to any church, and to any Christian. This can be applied, that there are some wonderful spiritual things that God wants to give you and he wants you to have, but your sin's withholding it from you. I hope this morning the preaching will exhort you and encourage you to deal with any sin in your life, whatever the sin is, anything that you need to deal with. Listen, church, please do not miss out on the good because you're doing the bad. All right, every head bowed, eye